I don't mean to be controversial or to offend anyone, but I think the church can be quite disappointing. The church as an institution has a very rocky history, and it's been this way from the beginning. For example, consider the church in Corinth that Paul writes to. We read about factions and divisions among them. Church members are taking each other to court with lawsuits. There's sexual immorality. In one case, there's even incest. During the Lord's Supper, church members are getting drunk. This is the disappointing reality of the Corinthian church. And as we consider the Christian church today, things don't look much better. Pedophile priests and hierarchies that protect them and cover it up. Preachers and churches that are only caring about money. Unbiblical teaching, ungodly lifestyles, unnecessary church division. Churches can often be self-righteous, judgmental, out of touch, irrelevant, or just plain boring. Friends, let's give credit where credit is due. The church has done some truly amazing, phenomenal, vital things that have changed the world for the better. The church has been a huge blessing to believers and unbelievers. There's a long list of all the good things the church has done and continues to do. But let's also be honest. In many other ways, the church has failed on so many levels. Because of the many failures and disappointments, sometimes it's hard to love the church. But loving the church is exactly what Paul calls us to do. 1 Corinthians 13. Other than Psalm 23, it's probably the most famous chapter in the Bible. The love chapter. One writer calls it the greatest, strongest, deepest thing Paul ever wrote. These words go to the very heart of who God is. God is love. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, united eternally in perfect love. These words have much to say about marriage. They've been read at countless weddings. And yet, when Paul wrote these words to the church in Corinth, his focus wasn't on the love of God, and his focus wasn't on the love between husband and wife. His famous chapter on love is in the context of the church. He's writing about love within the church, love within the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, you recall, Paul has been talking about spiritual gifts. But as great and important as spiritual gifts are, Paul ends the chapter in verse 31. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way is 1 Corinthians 13. The most excellent way is love. So what does it look like to love the church? Paul defines love in verses 4 to 7. These words are almost 2,000 years old, but they have stood the test of time. They are as true today as ever. Love is patient. When the kids at church are being noisy and distracting, love means being patient with them. I know this never happens in our church, but when the pastor is preaching a boring sermon, or he's picked a hymn that we don't like, or when the greeting of peace takes too long, love is long-suffering. When dealing with the Anglican diocese, it's an exercise in patience. Loving the church means being patient with the church. Love is kind. To love the church is to give ourselves over to goodness, generosity, encouragement, and service. We are kind in the way we talk and act towards each other. Now, notice that when Paul talks about love, he's not describing our emotional state. Love isn't a noun. Love is a verb. It's a doing word, an active word. Love isn't just something that we feel. Love is something that we do. Loving the church means actively showing kindness to our Christian brothers and sisters, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how tired or busy we may be. Love does not envy. When you go on holidays, it's a great opportunity to visit other churches, but then we may be tempted to envy and jealousy. Wow, what a great sermon. I wish our pastor was like that. I wish our church music was this good. What a beautiful building, so much better than ours. Or it could be more personal for us. We see gifted believers and we're tempted to envy and jealousy. I wish I could sing like her. I wish I knew the Bible like him. But friends, envy and jealousy is not love. Rather, we praise and thank the Lord for what he has blessed us with. Love does not boast and is not proud. In other words, we don't get puffed up and brag about myself. You know what? I'm probably the most gifted person in this church. No one does more around here than me. I serve the most. I give the most money. I know the Bible and pray more than anyone else. I come to church every Sunday without fail. I am the most important person in this church, and without me, this church is nothing. Friends, that's not love. That's boasting. That's pride. And as Paul teaches in verses 1 to 3, without love, all our spiritual gifts are worthless. Without love, all our good works, all our service counts for nothing. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, if I preach the most eloquent sermons, if I sing hymns with the most beautiful voice, if I play music in church with the highest level of skill but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I know the Bible and can teach it to others, if I can pray thoughtfully and articulately, if my faith is bold and I can share the gospel with unbelievers but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the church, to the poor, to disaster relief, if I clean the church, set up the flowers, serve morning tea, welcome people at the door, if I serve in all these ways but have not love, I gain nothing. Friends, loving the church means using our spiritual gifts, serving and being generous to others. But are we doing it for ourselves? Pride and boasting? Or are we doing it for others, humility and love? Love doesn't dishonor others and is not self-seeking. A loving church honors everyone who enters their community. We greet them, welcome them, and make them feel comfortable. We're never rude. We don't embarrass or shame people, not even in our joking around. And of course, gossip is entirely out of place. Friends, where there is selfishness in the church, putting ourselves first ahead of others, factions and divisions and gatekeepers are sure to follow. And no one wants a church like that. A temptation for a church like ours are wars over the worship. About half our church have grown up in a traditional church service, using the prayer book, singing the great hymns. This is what they know, this is what they love, this is what they want. Traditional style worship. The other half of our church appreciate modern church services. Less liturgy, more freedom, contemporary choruses. This is what they love, what they want, modern style worship. Sadly, some Christians will even leave their church if they don't get the exact worship style they want. But Paul says, love is not self-seeking. Love looks to the interests of others. Love looks to the interests of those in the pew sitting in front of you. So you might not be happy with the worship style. You may not be happy with the decisions from parish council. You might not be happy with the hymns we sing. But maybe the other church members are happy and it's helping them worship the Lord faithfully. Loving the church means honoring other church members and seeking their interests ahead of our own. Love is not easily angered and it keeps no record of wrongs. Last week we talked about diversity in the body of Christ. Well, where there's diversity, inevitably there are clashes. Clashes in personality. Some believers may rub you the wrong way and you find it hard to get on with them. Clashes in personal beliefs. For example, infant baptism or believer's baptism. Clashes in personal practices. Some church members prefer silence before churches, others are happy to talk and make noise. Some members kneel for communion, others don't. Friends, the church is diverse. We're not all the same. We think differently, we talk differently, we act differently, we worship differently. And so inevitably, there are clashes. But when a clash in the church comes, when a clash in our church comes, what do we do? Do we divide the church? Or do we just leave the church? No. Love isn't easily angered. It's not touchy or overly sensitive. It patiently puts up with annoyances. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't take notice of every single evil thing the church does and hold it against them forever. I know angry believers who've left the church because they've been hurt, because they've kept a record of all the wrongs from the pastor, from the members, from whoever. You ask them about church, and they have this long list of offenses they're holding on to. Sometimes the hurts are from decades ago, but they hold on to the pain. They bear grudges. Friends, it's a failure of love. I'm the first to admit the church can be very disappointing. The church can even be hurtful. The church isn't perfect yet. Of course, there's going to be offenses and hurts, but we pursue forgiveness and reconciliation. Love means we're not easily angered by the church and we don't hold on to all the failures. But there's the other side of the equation as well. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love is not easily angered, but there is a time for anger. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, but nor does it cover up the wrongs. Instead, it seeks the truth. Where there is evil in the church, it must be dealt with. When Jesus sees the temple turned into a marketplace, he's angry and drives out the traders with force. When Paul hears about incest in the Corinthian church, he's angry and demands these wicked members be removed and cast out. When we hear about pedophile priests and the great big cover-up, when we hear about domestic violence in the homes of church members, when we hear about heretical teaching from false prophets in the church, when we hear about overly extravagant lifestyle from prosperity preachers, are we not angry? Do we not demand truth? Loving the church means we don't delight in evil. We don't put up with evil. No, we seek and rejoice with the truth. Finally, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Despite the disappointments and failures we see in the church, despite the clashes and hurts and offenses that happen between Christians, we don't give up and we don't just walk out. Love sees the best in the church and the best in other believers. Love hopes for a better future for the church. Love is steadfast. Love endures. Love overcomes the disappointments and failures. As Paul says in verses 8 to 13, our spiritual gifts are only temporary. They will cease. But love endures into eternal life. Verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Friends, love never fails. But sometimes, our love for the church does fail, doesn't it? I imagine we love the church some of the time, or perhaps most of the time, but not all the time. Paul has set a very high bar for love, and sometimes we fall short of this standard. As we've gone through these verses, I've pointed out the common temptations and sins we fall into. I doubt any of us can read these verses and say, yep, that's me. That's a perfect description of how I perfectly love the church. Friends, the honest truth is, only one person has perfectly loved the church this way. 1 Corinthians 13 isn't a description of ourselves so much. 1 Corinthians 13 is a description of Jesus. This is how Jesus loves the church. This is how Jesus loves you and me. No one knows the sin and failure of the church more than Jesus does. And yet, he keeps loving the church. No matter how bad the church gets, Jesus keeps loving her. Our love may fail, but his love never fails. In Ephesians 5, another famous wedding passage, Paul tells us the church is the bride of Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, to present her to himself as a radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Friends, it's hard to love the church when the church is at its worst. It's also hard for others to love us when we are at our worst. But Jesus does love the church. Jesus does love us. He gave his life for us. He's cleansing and perfecting us that we may be holy and blameless and radiant. So when you find it hard to love the imperfect church, we must first start by loving the perfect Jesus. Jesus is so much easier to love. And as we love Jesus, we will learn to love what he loves. We will learn to love his body, his bride, his family. Love Jesus and through him, love the church. Friends, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. And Father, we know that we do not always live up to the standard you call us. We do not live up to that perfect love. We stumble, we fall short. But Father, we ask that you help us to do better. Help us to love the church as we should. Help us to be the church as we should, so that we can become that radiant bride of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.